Guardian Angel, Chapter 6. The commotion in the failing light was still perfectly visible. People hovered to see what the problem was. Tim told her to stay in the car the moment they pulled up. "But shouldn't I come too?"
"I'll signal."
He threw the car door shut and hurried with Dale to the scene, holding out their badges to allow them access. "Exactly how are you going to signal, Detective Angel Face?" she said to herself within the confines of the car. "By exposing your butt to me?" Then she grinned. That wouldn't be such a bad idea. He had a cute butt, nice and tight, and not so hidden away in the suit he wore. "I should be out there with you, not tucked up in here alone. There are clues I need to see, aspects of the job I need to learn. I won't learn anything shut away in here." Dale opened the back door, making her squeal like a scared animal. She hadn't seen him return. "You coming out, or are you going to talk to yourself all night?" he asked. She stepped out of the car, pushing the door behind her. Dale grinned. "Checking Tim's ass out instead, huh?" Jane stopped in her tracks and stared at him. "I beg your pardon, I wasn't doing anything of the kind," she blushed. "Has she been that obvious?" Dale headed to the scene. "Oh, and don't forget to make notes," he gestured with his fingers as though he were holding a pen. Darn it, she'd left her bag in the car. What was it with her and Tim today? Both of them would forget their heads if they weren't screwed on already, behaving like besotted teenagers. She ran back to grab it and fought her way to the scene, talking to the voice recorder on her phone. "Cloudy. Might rain later," she breathed quickly as she walked. Crowd formed around the crime scene. She hit pause as she made her way to the centre. "What is it?" As Tim spoke, she hit record again. "A woman, around 40, brown hair." His hands in plastic gloves, he moved the head as gently as possible to see the back of it and looked up at Dale. "Blow to the back of the head. Again." "You think it's a serial?" "Could be." "Okay, fully clothed," he shrugged. "No evidence of obvious sexual assault. Forensics will let us know for sure." Looking down at her white blouse and black trousers, he added, "She looks like she worked in an office." "ID?" Dale asked as he crouched opposite. Tim opened the woman's bag and found her ID. Before bagging it, he said, "Heather Walker. She lived near Quincy Market. God, I was there just last night." "Alone?" Dale asked. "No, with Jane," he replied carelessly. Jane gasped, taking in the fact that they could quite possibly have seen this woman and absorbing the realisation that Dale now knew about them. "I meant," Dale smirked, "did Miss Walker live alone?" "Oh, she doesn't appear to be married," Tim went on, hoping the remark went unnoticed. "Her next of kin is Mrs. Margaret Walker, her mother." "That's two single women of similar ages, both killed by a blow to the head, within a matter of days. Forensics will tell us the cause of death in due course, but if this is the same as Eleanor, then I guess we're going to be digging a little deeper." "You really think it's serial killers at large?" Jane asked when they were back in the car. "Isn't that the kind of thing you see on TV?" "It happens for real, I assure you," Dale said over his shoulder. "What makes somebody want to kill over and over?" Dale watched her make notes from his answers. "Obsession?" he shrugged. "Madness? Could be any number of things. Maybe the guy likes brunettes or had a thing about his 40-year-old mother who beat him when he was a kid. Who knows what goes through people's heads?" "How do you know it was a man? I notice police always assume a man is the perpetrator. How do you know it is in this case?" "That's a good point," Tim nodded, gesturing to Dale. "We don't know yet, not for sure. Though from first impressions, Heather Walker was about 5'8", 5'9". Women are generally shorter than men, so if it was a woman who killed her, she'd have to be pretty tall. But for your notes, we haven't ruled out anything yet." "How about the victim's mother? Will I be with you when you interview her?" "Better not," Dale glanced over. "We'll drop you off first. Any decent information we get, we'll tie up with you tomorrow." That was fine with Jane. Within the hour, she was sitting in her apartment with a burger and fries next to the computer. Fall evenings didn't get much better than this, junk food and writing. But that was before Tim Angel was on the scene. She found it hard to concentrate knowing he was out there. She added another paragraph, imagining Tim as the lead character, Mac. As night drew in, Mac sighed hard, contemplating his next course of action. Would the killer strike again? His reputation told his superiors that he would move heaven and hell in order to bring this case to a successful end. The paragraph turned into a chapter, and that turned into two more. By the time she finally stopped for a drink, it was late and she was shattered. She read through her work, well aware what sounded good at 2 in the morning wouldn't necessarily sound great in daylight hours. This time, however, she was convinced it was biting properly. She had Mac interviewing an attractive suspect, but instead of using the expected softly-softly approach, he used his intimidating stance this time. Mac approached the suspect as close as he possibly could without actually touching her, resting his muscular arms on the table either side of her. He could smell her perfume. It was a heavy musk, alluring, yet simple, but provocative in the right circumstances. The woman, in her mid-twenties, smiled. Her lips parted, exposing white teeth, and she inhaled deeply, taking in Mac's own masculine scent. "You smell good, detective," she admitted. "Very, very good." Her eyes half closed as she inhaled again, this time making him very aware of it. She swallowed. "How about we forget this interview and get straight to business? As you know, my apartment isn't far from here." Mac pulled away a little. "Just to answer the questions, Miss Taylor. I could make you a very happy man, at least for the night. Miss Taylor." "Okay," she shrugged. "An hour, then." She kissed him, leaving evidence of red lipstick on his skin. Mac was mad. "You're sexy as hell. You can't blame a girl for trying." Knowing the mirrored window was being monitored, Mac pulled away quickly. The last thing he needed was the usual hot office gossip turning into a furnace, and worse still, him being the butt of all of their jokes. He wasn't a womanizer, nor particularly sexy. Mac was Mac. He wouldn't be manipulated by this woman. "Or indeed anyone at all," Jane said aloud as she typed. "He was made of stronger stuff than that, and he would prove it by solving the case." She stopped typing and threw a fist in the air, adding, "Go you, Mac, you'll save the day and show Jerry and Carl I don't need to strip off to sell this." Jane ended the chapter there and then. It felt good. It felt like a good, natural point. She took her long cold dinner remains to the kitchen as her cell phone rang. She answered it, but nobody was there. It was late for calls. She didn't notice her caller ID, so closed it up and ignored it. The phone rang again. Heck, it was the middle of the night. Who would be calling? A flash of panic reeled through her body as she wondered if her mum was okay in Florida. Jane hadn't been in touch for a few weeks, something her mother would pick up on sooner rather than later. Nobody was on the other end, and she snapped it shut again. For the third time, it rang. No caller ID, she noticed this time. What the hell? She picked up the phone and answered it. "Hello? Tim, is that you?" She could hear breathing, but it wasn't a heavy breather. But someone was there. "Who is this?" She slammed it down, but a few moments later it rang again. She picked it up and hollered into it. "Listen, you jerk, if you don't have anything to say to me, then stop calling." "Jane?" Tim's voice came through loud and clear, even if he was a little taken aback. "You okay?" "I got a strange call. It's nothing. It's late. How's it going out there?" "I've finished for the night. I called to ask if you've eaten." She looked at her watch. "It's way past midnight. How can you think about eating?" "You'd be surprised. How about I come over with the takeout?" Afraid she might be wilting by then, but wanting to see him all the same, she agreed. "See you in 20 minutes. She grinned as she put the phone down, and all of a sudden, she didn't seem that tired anymore.